What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet from...
Yes, indeed it is. You Better You Bet. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley, and we are here with you on BetQL, where every game is Game 7, and the only BS you're going to get, bets and sports. Streaming live on Odyssey.com. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, Odyssey stations nationwide, as part of BetQL, and the You Better is congregating in two places to watch the show, and we appreciate each and every one of them. YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports and Twitch.tv/BetQL, as Ken and I get set to bring you the wagertainment for the next 4 hours, talking all things sports betting. Proudly presented today and always by the Bet River Sportsbook. Deposit $250 and you'll get a $250 match at our show sponsor, BetRivers.com, and the Bet Rivers app. The real ones know about Bet Rivers. The real ones also know, of course, about BetQL. They know that BetQL's got all the tools they need to take down the sportsbooks. They know that BetQL's got the algorithms. They know that BetQL's got the experts. And they know that BetQL's got the five-star plays, like the over in last night's game between the Packers and the Lions. The model projected 53 points. They scored 52. Sounds like a five-star play to me, Ken Barkley, from BetQL, BetQL.com, and the BetQL app on this terrific Tuesday, September 21st in the year of our Lord, 2021. The show is on Twitter, at You Better You Bet. The show is on Instagram, at YBYB Sports. I am on Twitter and Instagram, at The Costos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S, and Ken Barkley, your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, on Twitter, at Lockie Lockerson. Four phenomenal guests coming your way today on this terrific Tuesday. We are less than a month away from the start of the NBA season. The NBA's in the news. We can't wait to bet the NBA here on the show. So you know we have to bring on our pal, Matt Moore from the Action Network. First time on since the NBA Finals and the NBA Draft to break it all down. How about Trista Crick going to make her You Better You Bet debut, one of the new hosts of BetMGM Tonight. She's an absolute star. She's a Cowboys fan. She loves the NBA. Lots of fun stuff coming up. Some wagertainment with Trista Crick as we move along in the show. Joey Kanish, pro sports better, absolutely insane, baby, with winning picks for college football this
baby.
Weekend. And we've got Ryder Cup, baby, James Mazzola of the For-Profit Podcast. A little jingoism, USA, USA, USA. Right. Unless we're going to be betting on Europe. I don't really know.
Yeah,
James Mazzola is going to tell us coming up in hour number three of today's show. Plus, Monday Night Football recap, betting and otherwise. It was a good night for the crew. We will dive into all of it momentarily here. What's next for the Packers and what's next for the terrible Detroit Lions. So many slaps, Ken Barkley, and so little time. Yeah. He's a slap week two edition to end this hour number one on this terrific Tuesday. I am generally of the opinion that I like to undersell and overdeliver. I'm going to say that I think this one has an opportunity to be one of the best ones we've done, both old POS and then in this new version. He's a slap for week two in the National Football League. We've got the great Ken Barkley, your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper. And you're going to see these bets all over the place coming up tomorrow because Ken's going to give out the games he's already bet for week number three in the National Football League in the power hour of today's show. We're going to play whatever you prefer, a little NFL Futures edition. We're going to do this today, tomorrow, and Thursday on the show. A nice fun reset here on NFL Futures through 2 weeks of the season. Ken and I are going to give you our takes on all of them. It's Tuesday, day two of Lockmas. And on the second day of Lockmas, Santa lockers and gifts to us. I'm not quite sure yet, but we're going to find out in the Power Hour. Bets for college football.
He never texted me, so I don't know.
That's exactly right. And Power Hour, final hour, of course, all our bets for tonight. We'll give you some Major League Baseball plays, BetQL's five-star plays, so much good stuff. We are locked and loaded on this terrific Tuesday, and the wallet's a little bit fatter after Monday Night Football. Ken Barkley, how we doing?
Doing great. Great night for the show, obviously. I'll do the Lockmas tease right now since I should have told you what we were doing before the show because it's actually a really good one today. I think I even said it's going to be good and then didn't tell you what it was. So that's my fault. Lockmas will feature one of Nick's absolute favorite of all time college football betting trends. One of his absolute favorites. He might not even know what it is right now, and I'm going to explain it. And he will be so blown away. He'll be like, oh my God, I remember this. And it was amazing.
It's a trend or is it like it's a
trend.
It's like a trend, or it's like a Nick Costos betting axiom, like this team lost and this team won, so now we're looking ahead to make this bet.
We're not doing any of those, although those would also be great. Maybe a little bit of that, and it'll all make sense kind of. But you love this. Last year, this was like one of your favorite things that we did every single college football week.
Do you think if I looked at the board and like looked at all the games, I'd be able to be like, okay, like this is what the bet is or not?
Well, I'll maybe this is kind of a hint that conference play obviously starts even more this week than it is before. Okay. This is kind of like the unofficial start of conference play. So like situational spots, maybe who you played and then who you're playing this week. Maybe
that who does Georgia Tech have this week? Oh, Leon, we'll save it.
So, see,
on the second day of Lockmas,
this is your favorite
Barkley
thing. You loved this last year. This
What's great about this is I can't take credit for it. Bill typed in the chat after playing Clemson. I had completely forgotten.
No,
so I'm
I
guessing that's what it
open.
Is.
Come on,
and
Bill.
And we'll have, yeah, listen, Bill's my guy. So we've got Lockmas coming up, that and more in the final hour of today's show. You know, we'll get to the Monday Night Football recap, Packers and Lions, like what happened on the field, spin it forward. But let's kind of take a victory lap here a little bit here, Ken, because this was a great night for the crew.
Pat myself on
you know,
the back.
You were, you get negative during these games, man. You're like, you thought this game was done. I texted the crew
at
halftime.
Was I?
Yeah, you were negative. I'm like, I felt like the Packers were definitely going to cover when the game went to halftime. I bet Packers second half. I felt like they were going to score every time they had the ball. They really should have. Like, some of these misses to MVS, well, I'll talk about that in a little bit here in a second, were really annoying. But man, like, in between the Packers covering, great job by you and, like, your numbers spitting out a winner on the Green Bay Packers, although we had literally had to sweat it until the very end of the game, the final drive by the Lions, which is crazy. In between the TJ Hockenson overs, the DeAndre Swift receiving yards over, Quintez Cephas anytime touchdown plus 430. Man, this was an awesome betting night last night. This was one of those that makes you smile, like, this is why we do this, Ken. Like, to have nights like that where, like, we win a lot of bets on an island game and a lot of our listeners and viewers win as well.
Yeah, and unanimously on a side that has a huge sweat at the end and the coin flip kind of lands our way. You know, I think Detroit has the ball there. Would have been, a lot of people said this, would have been really interesting to see if they would have gone for 2 12-point game to make it 10. Numbers, obviously, 11.5. Dan Campbell, an incredibly unpredictable head coach. I have no idea whether he would have gone for it. And he could have done anything. He could have walked off the field at that point, and it wouldn't have surprised me based on some of the decisions that we saw in last night's
game.
Well,
he punted with 9 minutes. He punted with 9 minutes left, down 18, and then is calling timeouts with 3 minutes left. Like, what that? Which is it, Dan? Which is it, Dan?
He quit.
Remember, he did this in the first preseason game against Buffalo, like the same kind of BS? Like, come on, man.
I just don't understand what, like, if you're going to punt with 9 minutes left, then you're done. Then you're done. And that's okay. Like, it's okay.
Like, you've
to be
conceded.
Done.
Like, you are no longer biting kneecaps at that point. Like, you can't be a kneecap biter and punt with 9 minutes left down by 3 scores. You can't do it.
Like, it's raining. You're turning the ball over. You can't stop Aaron Rodgers. The game is getting out of reach. Okay, punt with 9 minutes left. Whatever. And then this, like, try hard, we can't win, but let's get the ball back down the stretch was really kind of rough. Also, like, do the Packers have to pass the ball for a touchdown on third and try to do that on third and two when a running play gets you a first down 90% of the time, probably, in that situation. And then you literally run all of the time off the clock, except for like the last 30 seconds. But Rodgers had to take the shot. Obviously, you'll talk about MVS and some of his struggles, like with these deep balls, 4 targets, 0 catch. I mean, it's just, you can do that one. That one's amazing too. I'll be honest though. So you mentioned I was kind of negative. I don't think it was that. It's just like, usually these kind of games that start like this, play out like this, they don't usually have this ending. And I'll just be honest, like, very happy we won. I don't like to say things like we were on the right side or we were on the wrong side. I have no idea. They covered and we won money, so that's great. I think the weather, for all, as much as we crap on weather and weathermen and forecasts and all this stuff, I think the weather helped us an insane amount in the second half of last night's game, because that's like a kind of neck and neck game. Most importantly, the Lions are able to move the ball and score in the first half. Goff is playing outstanding. And then
he was
Rodgers
slinging
lifts,
it last night. He was,
oh,
was good
amazing.
Last night.
Yeah. Rodgers lifts his level of play. And the Lions, I think, actually could have matched it in a lot of situations, except literally for some reason, I don't even know why we didn't know this, Jared Goff literally can't play when it's raining, apparently. Ball slipping out of his hand multiple times. We're fumbling. The
He's
ball's
got little
out
hands,
weird.
Right? Wasn't that a thing with Goff and like draft
that
season?
That was supposed
got, like,
to be a
hands?
Thing. He has baby hands, and that was like one of the reasons why maybe he's no longer the quarterback of the Rams too.
And listen, I'm 5'7". It's not like I'm walking around here like Shaquille O'Neal, okay? Like you know what I'm saying here. But I also don't play quarterback in the National Football League.
So it's just it was a situation where I was really happy we got this break. I mean, we even talked about it. I was like, wow, inclement weather really favors the Packers. We were talking about wind, but who knew that rain would have such an adverse impact on the game? So I think I'll tip my cap to weather. Thank you, weather. Appreciate it. Packers, obviously, just a ruthless offensive machine despite the rain and wind and everything. Jared Goff can't hang on to the ball. I mean, it was outstanding. It allowed the Packers to build that lead and ultimately cover. So maybe got a little bit fortunate with the weather in the second half, but we will definitely take it. And, I mean, literally wins all over the place for everybody on our show.
Yeah, I felt really good about the props last night. They ended up like almost all of them cashed. The MVS ones, and I tweeted this last night. I guess I don't even know if I should tweet things like this because there are times where I feel like I make bad bets and bad bets win sometimes too. Good bets sometimes lose. This MVS bet, the bets over 41.5 receiving yards, anytime touchdown, man, these are good bets. These were good bets last
tough
night.
Watch.
120 air yards. How about the play in the end zone on like the 2-yard line where they run the pick play? Devontae Adams like screens the corner and MVS is standing alone in the end zone. And Aaron Rodgers, who is unquestionably a first ballot Hall of Fame player, some people call him the best quarterback to ever play the game, literally looked like me trying to throw the ball to MVS. Not even close. He's wide open standing there in the end zone and Rodgers can't get him the ball. Then Rodgers overthrows him on a deep shot where MVS is open, walks into the end zone for a touchdown, hits him in the helmet with another one. I wouldn't be surprised if like MVS like did something, slighted Rodgers during the week and Rodgers was like, screw this guy. I'm just going to mess with him all night. Like it felt like that last night. Like how is it possible for like one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen, like an unquestioned first ballot Hall of Famer, to be that bad when targeting one guy? And then when he throws to Big Bob Tunney and he's throwing lasers down the middle of the field, the Devontae Adams, these are like the homing missiles here, but the Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you can't come with it the same zip code. Like they're in Green Bay. He's throwing these in Milwaukee. It's not even close. Like how the hell does that happened last night? That was annoying.
Yeah, and it would be one. No, he was just having an off night, or he was 22 of 27 for 255, four touchdowns and no picks. And the
like four of the incompletions were MVS. Four of them were MVS.
And like the Tonyan, like the throw to Tonyan over the middle of the field is insanity. Like it's like the ball caught him. Like the ball literally, like Aaron Rodgers was like, nah, I got this. Like, don't even lift your arms. Like, I got this one. I'm all over it. Devontae Adams, the same thing. They were like, oh, working on that rookie corner. I was like, it could have been Stephon Gilmore. It could have been Xavier Howard. It wouldn't have mattered with how the throw was. So, yeah, I mean, it is really crazy to see. Like, Devontae Adams had a great game, went over his prop, even though it was set very high, obviously. He ended up with 121. You know, Hockenson, you mentioned, went over. So, like, the big players in the game all had pretty good games. Aaron Jones had four touchdowns. You know, just like really crazy. And yet this one outlier, and it happened to be the one that you had, like the one thing that didn't, in a game that everybody clicked, everyone basically clicked. The one guy who didn't click just happened to be the guy where you were like, I'm all in, like I'm all in on this guy. Just, I mean, it's luck of the draw, honestly. Like somebody was going to play poorly. It just happened to be the guy that you were on.
Listen, I did get the Quintez Cephas anytime touchdown. And I felt like I said yesterday in the Power Hour, I said, I felt like, I feel like all these anytime touchdown bets, they're not all going to win, but I feel like all of them have sound process, and I felt like I was going to get one of them, and I got the longest one last night, so hard to complain too much about that. What'd you think of the Manning cast last night?
So to be fair, I only watched a little bit of week one, because we tried to talk about this on the air, and you were like, you had absorbed it completely, and I try to do work while the Monday night game's on, because it takes forever, there's a ton of commercials, and I'm just kind of like, have it on in the background, but this week, I was like, all right, everyone kind of raved about it, that it's got this bright future. It's like a little rough around the edges, but like, let me check it out and see what it is. And it was, first of all, way different than I remember it being in week one, like a different show almost, like almost just like a complete overhaul of what they wanted to do. But I'm all in, like I'm all in on this. It actually distracted me from doing work for like more than an hour watching the Gronk interview. And then like what, somebody was on around Gronk, like, well, Favre was on later,
Patrick Willis, just,
like, yes,
and Pat McAfee was great at the end.
Yeah, McAfee at the end of the game was outstanding,
referencing the spread, which was awesome, obviously
referencing,
and I mean, definitely bet the Packers and the over. Hilarious. Peyton's like, man, I want Jared Goff to get the ball back one more time here, and McAfee's like, how about not?
how about he just doesn't. Manning with all of the Brady and Patriots cheating references you could possibly imagine on a weekly basis, and this is
give it up, Peyton. Like, yeah. Give it up, Peyton. Like,
talking to receivers,
it's okay.
In the shower.
Like Peyton, you're probably the second best quarterback ever. There's no shame in that.
Can't that
There's
be
no
okay?
shame in it.
Right. You're
There's
LeBron
no
James, basically.
What? Yeah. Why do you have to keep... Like, he brings up Brady constantly, like a jilted lover. It's weird. Like, enough, Peyton. It's okay. At least Eli sits there and is like, yeah, I beat Brady every time I played him, basically. So, yeah, Eli's got
Eli
that.
With this dumb look on his face. Like, oh, I won two Super Bowls.
as a Giants fan, I like... I watch Eli talk about football and he says like incorrect things. Like he's diagnosing the play before the snap. And he's like, I think it's going to be this. And then the opposite happens. And I'm sitting there thinking, this guy won two Super Bowls for my favorite team and beat Brady and Belichick in both of them. I feel like I'm in the Matrix. Like, I feel like it's not real. I'm gonna give you more thoughts.
To the running guy. Like, oh God, man.
I'm gonna give you more thoughts on the Manning cast coming up after this, and then a full betting breakdown and spin ahead, Packers and Lions.
Gets the shotgun snap, hands off to Jones, digs through the rain and the slick grass, and dives for a touchdown over the left guard. And the Packers have scored again. His fourth touchdown tonight, and the Packers have gone up 34-17 over the Detroit Lions. Green Bay is on a roll.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet. Well,
oh, bring it up, Rick. Kevin Harlan, Westwood One on the call. Packers take down the Lions 35-17. Packers cover the spread. Game goes over the total. A 21-0 second half in favor of Green Bay. Gets it done for us. Gets it done for my Packers second half bets. That was awesome. Get back to this game in a second here, but I just want to say one thing about the Manning cast that we didn't get to at the end of the first segment. When it's just the two of them talking the game, and there was a lot more of that yesterday than there was in week one. So I feel like they definitely heard the criticism and they're like, okay. When they're just talking about the game, I think it's like the best thing in like the history of like game broadcasting, not like sports broadcasting, but like broadcasting during the game, play by play, game analysis as the game is going on. Like
commentary.
It might, aside from like early Romo with Jim Nantz before like he got neutered by CBS and like doesn't call the plays out anymore, but like early Romo, specifically the 2019 AFC Championship game, Patriots Chiefs, where he put on like the greatest performance of all time by a broadcaster when he called every single play the Patriots were running before it happened. And that was legendary. I think this is the best I've ever seen. When it's Peyton and Eli, they're analyzing the game. Peyton gets super into it. He's telling you exactly what's about to happen. He's criticizing the officiating, the coaching decisions, the quarterback play. Eli's chiming in with one-liners, letting Peyton do his thing. That's as good as it gets. I can do without Gronk, Patrick Willis, Brett Favre, who's got Wi-Fi, like he's like in you know, the bayou in Louisiana, which he probably is, like not watching the first half of the game. Like Pat McAfee's funny. Like McAfee's funny in like a blowout. Like what if that's a close game last night and they're doing like comedy hour with Pat McAfee? I like Pat McAfee. I love that he referenced the spread last night. I thought that was awesome. But can we just get the game? And if you bring a guest on, can it be like Russell Wilson in week one, where Russ is like breaking the game down as it comes down the stretch, Ravens and Raiders, and then goes to overtime? Like, can we just get football talk? Maybe I'm in the minority here, but once like Gronk comes on and he's doing his Gronk routine, I turn it over to Steve Levy, Lou Riddick, and Brian Greasy. I would rather hear them because they're actually talking about the game than Gronk talking about like, I don't know, like his year off. Who cares? Like what Gronk did during his year. Do that on like a Wednesday. Like, why are we getting that during the Packers and the Lions? That's like my one complaint. Like, remove this and you've got, I think, like the greatest thing in the history of game sports broadcasting.
Well, I think there's no way of getting around this. So I think you're right. First of all, I agree with you that I think maybe don't abandon the guests, but like have them come on for 5 minutes instead of like Gronk was on for like a half hour last night. Like wait, there was entirely too much Gronk in the telecast of last night's game. But I think ESPN's philosophy, I'm guessing, especially when they started this, like maybe, you know, now they
like social media moments, right? Like stuff.
It's
viral.
Right. So it's the idea of like creating these like really small moments that like everybody tweets about. The quote from Gronk obviously was one last night, the quote from McAfee, the quote from Peyton Manning about the Colts in the shower, like all that stuff with the Patriots bugging their lockers, like all that stuff. That was like a win. But I think for them, it's like, well, if people want to watch the game, they'll watch the game telecast. And this is like a second screen experience. I guarantee that was the philosophy when they started. Guarantee it. Except the problem is we all enjoy this so much more as a single game experience, single screen experience, than the game telecast. Like it's actually one-upped it and it hasn't even tried to one-up it.
And that's not a knock, by the way. And I think you agree with me here. And like, you could say what you want about Levy, Riddick, and Greasy. This is much less of a knock on those three than it
fine.
Is like a compliment to the Mannings.
Yeah.
Like, right. I would rather watch Peyton and Eli than Nance and Romo, than Michaels and Collinsworth, than Buck and Aikman. It's not even close.
Right. I think there's a bigger gap between the Mannings and the Monday Night Crew than the crews you mentioned, but that doesn't mean that the Monday Night Crew is bad. It just means they're fine. They're like the CBS number 2 team, number 3 team, number 4 team. They're like all those are the same. Like they're all the same. And it's, you get the kind of the same experience from watching the games. You know, it's just, we watch Red Zone on Sunday, so we're unaccustomed to thinking about like commentary this way with all the backup CBS and Fox teams, but they're all about the same. So it's, I agree with you in that way, but the problem is like, the thing that I think ESPN wanted you to watch the Levy-Riddick telecast for, you're getting, even though they're not even trying to do it as well, you're just getting the best version of that from the Mannings, and then you're getting the other stuff too. So it's like, okay, well now it's not a second screen experience anymore. It's the only screen. It's all I want to watch. So
I'm going to have to subscribe to ESPN.
So what do we do now?
I haven't done that. I guess I'm gonna have to watch this like once it goes there, because it's too good.
Right.
It really is.
I'm just curious, like if you're them, like if you're ESPN, like do you feel comfortable being like, okay, well like everybody just likes this so much more, and you like steer into it and like, you know, be like, all right, cool. Like, well, that'll be, it's not a second screen experience anymore. Great. Just like do the game. We'll get more guests. We'll like keep tweaking it and make it like a game telecast. Or like, do you kind of just go with what the philosophy that you had coming into the season? Like, I'll be curious to see how it keeps changing. Week 1 to week 2, there were so many adjustments made. Like, I wonder if in the next week it'll be like a lot on a lot smaller scale. And I'll just be curious to see how it evolves.
There's one like backup crew, by the way. And when I say backup crew, I mean like outside of like the top crews on the various networks. Yep. That stands out. Gus Johnson and Akeem Tlaib. It's just,
you know what game they're doing. You know what game they're doing. Put it that way.
It is just a 50 on the 1 to 10 scale. Those two, like it is absolutely two
energy
guys
through the roof.
Two guys that love what they're doing, that love football, and they're excited to be there. That is a great, great broadcast. Gus Johnson and Akeem Tlaib. All right, let's talk some football here.
They also had Arizona, Minnesota, which was pretty helpful. So
which is a great game. Yeah. I mean, Gus is just phenomenal, man. Tlaib's great too. Yeah. All right. We got a number of minutes here to do this game here. Then Heats the Slap coming up next segment. Packers beat the Lions 35-17. Game goes over, as we said. Packers cover. Rodgers told us to relax. We should have. 22 of 27, 255, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Green Bay's offense unstoppable in the second half. But Ken, I guess the big question is, this defense like really does not look very good, even though they allowed the Lions to score 0 points in the second half.
Yeah, Lions from a yards per play standpoint outgained the Packers in the game. Yards per play 6.1 to the Packers 5.3, which is kind of interesting. Just, you know, you see 35-17, I think you have a level of expectation about how the game played out, and it really did not play out any like how let's say a normal 35-17 game plays out, something like that. The Packers never really built a lead in the game. They just pulled away at the end. Some of that was the weather, some of it was turnovers, some of it was their offense finally becoming something we talked about on last night's show, honestly, which was like this kind of juggernaut that's able to put together these very time-consuming, efficient drives that always result in touchdowns. And, you know, in the second half last night, you know, 4.5 minutes, 5.5 minutes, 5 minutes, all resulting in touchdowns. You were tweeting after each drive, like, they're just going to score again every time. Like, that's how much certitude there was in what was happening. So it was fun to see that again, because that's honestly, like, that's one of the best units going in the NFL. It's fun when things that are awesome keep being awesome. It's fun when the Chiefs offense scores a lot. It's fun when, you know, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey are making awesome plays for the Rams defense. Like, this is one of those things. It's fun to see Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense just completely, you know, demolish an opposition for an entire half and never be able to get off the field, never have the defense able to get them off the field. So it was cool to see that back. But I agree with you. Like, you look at kind of the raw statistics and even watching the game, like, this wasn't a garbage time situation. You could argue if there was no rainstorm, these numbers would look way more brutal in terms of the Packers defense. Like, you'd be talking about 400 plus yards allowed, maybe 7 yards per play, which would be among the largest totals in those two categories of any team in the NFL in week 2.
They probably would have covered too, right? They probably would have covered the Lions.
I think there's no question they would have covered. Honestly, like, the key plays in the game all involved Jared Goff and rain. Like, those are the key plays of the game. And Rodgers outstanding throws
and
on the opposite.
And also, his baby hands.
I know you're on this, and it's actually very funny, and I keep forgetting it every time I bring it up, but I think you can make that case. So it's interesting. Like, my big takeaway from the game, so the Packers defense, I agree with you on. From a Lions standpoint and a betting standpoint, I think is like a better way to think about it. Lions have played 2 games so far this season. They're perfect in the red zone through 2 games. Perfect. And their opponent is perfect in the red zone through 2 games. Like, is this an over team going forward? Like, should we, like, almost like until the totals are insanely high? Is that what this is going to be? This total would have shattered 60, 65 points if there was no rain last night. I mean, like, that's like where we were headed, basically. The Packers were always going to score. But I think the Lions offense just kind of got shut down, obviously, because of the turnovers that they had.
Which do you think is more likely to be repeatable? The Lions defense getting scored on in the red zone constantly, or the Lions scoring 100% of the time in the red zone?
Well, I think it's interesting they played Green Bay and San Francisco and they haven't missed a red zone chance so far. I mean, they can't, can it be that bad?
And Goff's like, I'll give him
credit.
Well,
that's Ross Tucker yesterday.
I was going to say, Ross said this yesterday that like Goff might not be Stafford or like one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, but he's better than like your average quarterback on like a 3-win team on a team that's going to have like a top five.
He could be 20th. He could be 22nd.
Dude,
he
was
in that zone. Yeah,
he was slinging it last night, like the long throw to Cephas, the touchdown pass to Hockenson in the corner of the end zone in the second quarter. He made some great throws last night.
He's mobile,
but They ran like a read option play for him last night. He ran for like 20 yards. I think he had 46 yards on four carries. Yeah, Goff played pretty well last night. I got a couple player notes here, and then we can spin this forward, Ken, to week two or week three.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hockenson 866-1 on 9 targets. I mean, very curious to see. Yeah. And he's so good. Like, he's had his awakening now in this offense with Goff. Yeah. I can't wait to see what his numbers are going to be like moving forward. Cause like, I don't think you can keep pricing him like high 40s, low 50s here. He's gone over in both games, both receptions and yards. He's 9 targets this week, double digit last week. Like, he's the guy in this offense. DeAndre Swift, 4 for 47 in the passing game, goes to show you again, he's going to be the primary passing downs back for when the Lions start trailing. It's DeAndre Swift time. And we saw that yet again last night. My guy, Quintez Cephas. We'll see what happens when Tyrell Williams comes back. But for the second week in a row, 7 or more targets for Cephas, 4 for 63 and a touchdown. He honestly looks like their best wide receiver. And that's not saying much, obviously, given the state of this receiving core. But he looks pretty good. Devontae Adams, relax on Devontae after 1 week. 8 for 121 on 9 targets. The MVS thing, absolutely ridiculous. I would have liked an A.J. Dillon touchdown. Jones had.
Seemed like the kind of
already.
We're going to get one, honestly. I really did.
I did too. It was just every time like they would cut away at the end of like a play, like to show like Matt LaFleur on the sideline or Dan Campbell or something else. And then they would come back to the huddle. I'd be looking to see like, is it 28 or is it 33? And every single time it was 33. And that's a pretty funny like bet sweat in and of itself when you have these anytime touchdown props. Who is in the game down by the goal line? Like when substitutions are made, who's actually...
Got your opera glasses out, looking at the TV. Like, wait a minute. Who was the
something
guy in the ring? Cam Akers last year, right? That was our guy.
Yeah, Akers for the Rams against the Bucks. That's exactly right. Before he took over that full-time job. Interesting note on Rodgers. The last 5 times that Aaron Rodgers has lost a regular season game, he has come back the next game and exactly 4 touchdown passes and no interceptions in each of the last 5 games following a straight up loss. You better, you bet, BetQL, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley. Terrific Tuesday going over the Packers and Lions last night and now spinning it ahead to week number 3 where, Lions run defense gashed in week number 1 by the San Francisco 49ers, gashed last night by the Green Bay Packers. Rolling into town this week, the team that ran for 251 yards on Sunday Night Football, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens a 9-point favorite at the Lions, total 49.5. And then we get an NFC Championship game rematch from 2 years ago in the Bay Area, San Francisco's first home game this season. Very interesting spread in this game. Very interesting total in this game, Ken. One of the games of the week, San Francisco laying 3.5 against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and the total 47.5.
And worth noting, not just a rematch of that NFC Championship game where the 49ers really kind of throttled them, especially offensively versus the Packers defense, but they had played in the regular season that same year, late season Sunday Night Football game where the Packers were completely embarrassed in the game. I think it was 28-0 Niners, like in the second quarter.
Packers got them last year, but this was like injury.
Yep. But so it's just an interesting, you know, kind of backstory. And normally you'd be like, well, 2 years ago, who cares? And it's like, well, it's Kyle Shanahan, it's Matt LaFleur, so it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Jimmy Garoppolo. So at least we have some of the similarities. Just interesting historical note there. I don't think that can affect a handicap or a bet you want to make on this game. Obviously, everything is situational and unique to the moment. So, but I just think it's just fun history in terms of how these teams play. Obviously, previous playoff meetings going backwards, you know, Colin Kaepernick against the Packers, what was that, 7 or 8 years ago, basically. Teams that have played in the playoffs a number of times because they're just...
Well, yeah, we had the T.O. catch from Steve Young back in the 90s to beat the Favre and the Packers.
Absolutely. So in terms of betting the game, you know, spoiler alert, we'll do this one now. I bet the Packers at 3.5. That was one of the bets that I put in for this coming week. I'm actually not even sure the Packers should be dogs in the game. That's kind of how my number kicks it out. I came out with Niners by 1. I'm willing to kind of go back and forth. I get that the way the Packers defense has looked through two games makes it tough for me to argue that proposition. But like, do we really like how the Niners have looked through two games? Like, I can do just as many things with the Niners as I think I can do with injuries and how they've looked as I can do with the Green Bay Packers. I think Niners as a small favorite makes sense. I think anything over three is a buy on Green Bay. So that's kind of how I'm viewing the game. And we can do the Detroit one after the break if you want.
Go ahead. No, yeah. Hit me with it right now.
I mean, shocker, like, love the over. I think like anything high 40s, even like 50, 50 and a half is a bet.
The Ravens could score 50 themselves in this game.
The Ravens scoring is going to drive this game. I had that thing about Detroit in the red zone. Again, have not had a red zone stop yet this season against San Francisco and Green Bay. It's not like they're stepping down in competition. They're playing Baltimore, like, who has an elite offense that is tough to prepare for on a short week. Like, I mean, it's really a disastrous situation. Number wise, I'm exactly the same as the market, you know, in that kind of 7.5 to 10 range. I'm the same. I think I'm like 8.2. So not interested in the side, but do like the total. Again, game in a dome with Detroit's defense.
Yeah, the Ravens, again, a 9-point favorite on the road at Detroit. Niners 3.5 at home against the Packers. Coming up after this, I'm going to give you my initial takes on both of these games. I'm not saying I disagree with the Packers take. I haven't bet the game yet. I'm going to share the one concern I've got as it concerns the Packers coming up on Sunday night against the Niners, coming up right after this. And after we quickly touch on those two games, get my thoughts, the week two edition of He's a Slap. So many slaps, so little time. We will hold them accountable next on You Better You Bet.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet. Well,
terrific Tuesday with Costos and Barkley. 20 minutes from now, Nikki Football makes an appearance to recap the weekend that was in the English Premier League. Betting notes that are interesting there. And a couple games that he's eyeing for this weekend in the Premier League. I'm speaking to the third person. I'm Nikki Football. Games that I'm looking at for coming up for the weekend in the English Premier League. Like, I wanted to scale these plays back, but they were decent last weekend. I think I split last weekend. So I've got a number of them circled. So we'll see.
No scaling. At the end of the week. No scaling at all. I demand no scaling.
I mean, like, I just look at games and I'm like, I think I like some bets here, and that's just the way it is. So if I like it, I'm going to bet it. So we'll talk about the English Premier League this past weekend, looking ahead to this weekend coming up in 20 minutes. Matt Moore, Action Network, talking NBA next hour. Trista Crick, BetMGM tonight next hour. Still going to talk to Joey Kanish. Still going to talk golf with James Mazzola. Power Hour, final hour. Lockmas Day 2, and the games Ken Barkley has already bet for NFL Week 3. We'll get to He's a Slap in a second here, but just final thoughts on the Ravens, Lions, and the Niners and Packers in week number 3. I'm with you. We're simpatico on the Ravens, Lions total. I think an over there makes a lot of sense. My only concern for the Packers, Ken, in this game would be bully ball by the San Francisco 49ers. Like, what they did to the Packers a couple times 2 years ago, what they, quite frankly, like, did to the Eagles this past Sunday. Like, they bullied Philadelphia on Sunday. Probably shouldn't have covered the spread, but like, they did have success playing that brand of football, and it's worked in the past against Green Bay. So just wanted to float those two things out there. And I know you have a note that we did not get to in the last segment on the Niners Packers game as well.
Yeah, they both have a common opponent, which is like, you just would never ever see that through week three of a season. That, like, oh well, like, what if two teams played each other and they actually both played the same team? One played them in week one, one played them in week two. And we have that with the Lions in this game. So we can argue about what you want to apply home field advantage for, and you know, that can be part of the discussion. So there's something, a theory that's been bandied about, is that there is no home field advantage anymore. If we do that, then it's very, very easy to see how value could lie in the Packers in this game. So the Niners at Detroit, but again, no home field advantage if we're using that theory, closed 9.5 in that game. So that was the difference between the Niners and the Lions. And then the Packers in that Monday night game closed 11.5 at home against the Lions. So if you apply no home field advantage, again, even if you're not doing like just straight number of points, just win probability, everything about it, We can at least say the teams are pretty evenly rated. Packers maybe even rated a little bit better in those two games. Now, if you want to apply some home field, the margin between the teams gets closer. Obviously, the Niners played at Detroit, and Detroit played at Green Bay. So that would compress the difference. That would get you closer to the current number. But I think in no situation, especially using the closing markets as a guide, would I be able to get to more than 3 in the game. So if you want to try to argue like Niners have to be favored, even has to be 2.5, 3, I think, even as a stretch, but like, okay, like there's some room for wiggle room there, but I think the idea that it can be 3.5, I just think is honestly incorrect. And so that's why I'm betting into it.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense there. Ken's initial breakdown of the Niners and the Packers, the Ravens and the Lions. Again, the games that Ken Barkley has already bet for week number 3 coming up in the final hour of today's show.